Last time on Binge Watchers Podcast, we did a fresh take on Warlock 89 that included some movie trivia. Dave convinced the masses to sign up for Stars. We gave away some copies of Love and Monsters. Nikki Lates was actually early. And Double A doubled down on his love for Hunky Boys. Actually, we all loved PG Psycho Gorman so much that we were considering dropping the movie of the week to talk about this crazy alien horror flick that just came out. And now, for another exciting adventure.
Crack open a cold box of wine or pour something cold on ice because it's the Binge Watchers Podcast.
And of course, tonight we're talking about Warlock 2, officially known as Warlock the Armageddon, a soft reboot of a sequel, if you will. Everybody generally considers it a sequel. However, it kind of changes the origin story of the Warlock, and it disregards Warlock Part 1 pretty much altogether. So anybody can deduce for themselves that it's a completely different Warlock. So every 600 years, the Son of Satan gets a chance to destroy the world if he gets his bastard hands on six magical stones protected by six druids. 666. Dun, dun, dun. There's also six signs of the Armageddon that signal to the living druids that the Antichrist is on his way. Now, in the movie, a pair of predestined teens are chosen to duel the Warlock as a special class of druids called Druid Warriors. And just so the audience knows, the mythology in this movie is total bullshit from the imagination of Kevin Rock, the screenwriter. In history, yes, there are druids, but they had some armed bodyguards called Gothwella in the Middle Ages as well that had a relationship with druid factions, but none of this other shit that's in the movie. And of course, early CGI wrecks the seriousness of the end of the world, and all the druid training is very Star Wars-like, like how Obi-Wan originally trained Luke. But if you want another wizard horror movie with Julian Sands, this movie's going to fill that void for you. And of course, the director actually has some beefy horror credits. I mean, we're talking about Anthony Hickox. For God's sakes, you know, he did Warlock 1 and 2, and he did some of our favorites like, Hellraiser 3. He also did Full Eclipse, which is like a werewolf cop X-Men type movie, which is really strange, but it's worth watching.
Love that movie.
Yeah.
That one's good.
Debating whether or not I'm going to throw it up on this year's movie list, maybe.
I think you should.
He also did this horror comedy called Sunset Vampires in Retreat with Bruce Campbell, which is really funny. So basically, he is considered a cult director. And, I mean, it's good that he has a sense of humor, because it seems like he employed humor in this movie, too. But we're going to go hit some home video headlines, and then we'll come back with our first impressions of Warlock 2. Hey, have you guys tried the Coke and coffee? Like, it just came out?
No, I just barely haven't heard about this. I saw it on a story the other day.
So it's like a, you know, like one of those 11-ounce cans. It looks like a Red Bull, right? But it's 79 milligrams of caffeine or whatever. So it's basically like stronger than a cup of coffee, but not as strong as some of the new Mountain Dews that are on the market. But it's in between the strength of a cup of coffee and you know, some serious soda, right? Not like a Jolt Cola. Remember that Jolt shit? That was like 99
milligrams
of caffeine.
That was intense.
But it's actually kind of good. Like every other taste is either like, you take your first sip and it's Coca-Cola. The second sip, it tastes like coffee. Third sip, Coca-Cola. And at the end, you're like, what did I drink? So, like, it's.
I find how does it compare to Surge?
I've had two flavors. Oh, man. Wait, we cannot talk about Surge. We'll spend the whole episode talking about Surge, man. I have memories of Surge.
Threw him off track.
You totally threw me off track. Like,
sorry.
I have a Surge story, and it's never come up on the show. Okay, let me back up a little bit and finish the Coke story, and then we'll jump into Surge. Okay, so with the Coke and coffee thing, I've tried two flavors. I've tried the black with the Coke, right? It's good. Then I tried the vanilla one, and it's like, I was sitting here thinking, like, all these years, have I been missing out, like, either pouring Coca-Cola into my coffee, or, you know, coffee into my Coca-Cola. And I'm like, is this a thing? Like, have people been doing this? Like, they must have been doing this already on their own, right? And then Coca-Cola was like,
oh, I don't know anyone who's done it, though. Like, I've never even heard of this till now. It. Yeah. Did you do it, Dave?
No.
Oh, okay.
See, no, I don't. I think it would destroy the carbonation. It would just be gross if you did it on your own.
I don't know.
But anyway, if you used, like Maxwell or crystals or whatever, like, you know.
You can, I don't know. It feels like... No, it feels like the Nightmare on Elm Street concoction.
I think you have to have real coffee. I don't think it would, I hate instant coffee. I fucking hate instant coffee.
I do too.
It's pretty bad. Like,
I don't really think you like coffee if you drink that. And I know somebody who drinks it, but I,
I've only ever drank it on like a camping trip. You never. Oh, yeah. Ugh.
No, that's terrible. That's
my mom drinks it and she likes it.
It's not real. It's not coffee, man. I don't know what
I mean. I had some this morning and it was okay.
Well, okay.
It'll do in a pinch.
All right. It seems diluted. It's like almost like decaf coffee or something. Because,
well, you just double up your teaspoons.
Oh my gosh, it still doesn't work for me, brother. I'm not a fan.
You triple up your teaspoons. But
I want to drop the taster's choice discussion and address your surge comment. Like, if I may, can I address your surge comment, Adam?
Do it. Sure.
All right. Okay. Learn. So, surge came out when I was in junior high. I don't know where it came from. Coca-Cola decided to distribute it. It's an alternative to Mountain Dew or Mellow Yellow. It has, like, a lot of caffeine. They used to make jokes that I would shrink your dick. Did you hear this joke? No?
No.
No.
That would do what now?
The yellow five color and Surge and Mountain Dew would shrink your dick? No, you never heard that one, huh?
Never heard of that, no.
Actually, I did hear that one, but I knew it was false, so it never...
Yeah, like, false advertising, so that just so Mountain Dew can...
It'll kill your sperm. It doesn't shrink your... Yeah.
Anyway, it might kill something. It might kill the little swimmers. You know.
Yellow number five.
Surges your sperm count.
It disappeared forever, but now you can get it at the dollar store. You can go to Amazon and buy a case of it. There's a whole Facebook page dedicated to keeping Surge alive, but it's still circulated, but not as widely circulated as it was. But for some reason, this grocery store, when it came out, was selling it like by the caseload for like less than the price of a six-pack. So me and my friends were buying them every day after school. And then we had these two soda machines in junior high that was like exclusive to the eighth graders. I don't know why this was a thing. For some reason, in this little town I was in Arizona, it was a big deal to have a soda machine in junior high. And then like to punish the eighth graders for, I don't know, littering or something, they closed our soda machines down. And then like we decided, well, we have two lockers filled with Surge right now. We started selling Surge at recess, lunchtime. During the pep rallies, like, so essentially we were running like a little Breaking Bad operation. That's me and amazing. My buddies, and we would go back to the store every day for like 2 months straight and buy more cases because, like, what we were charging, like, you know, us a dollar a can at that point, and that's like highway robbery, supply and demand, right? So we would go back and buy these cases, and I got investors, like, I got two of my buddies, was like, hey, bought me a 20 so I could go buy more. And we just kept going. The principal, who's like almost 7 feet tall, bald with a beard, he looks like the boss on the X-Files. He comes over while we're playing
Mitch
basketball.
Pileggi.
I'm selling sodas on the basketball court while other people are playing basketball. I'm selling a gym bag full of sodas. He comes over, pulls me aside, and says, what club are you affiliated with? Are you here with the Boosters Club? Or like, he's like, officially... You need to have some school business to sell things on school property. And I had to go to his office. He called my soda contraband. He locked it up.
Contraband.
Dude, what you just described, I want Scorsese to do like a 15-minute like
my friends saw the movie of this. They looked terrified. They looked terrified. I popped the Surge open as he was walking towards me. Like, the only thing I could think to do is pop one and enjoy it. On his way over, you know what I mean? Like, so
might as well, yeah.
Like, this is like Johnny Kingpin. This is like a story that, like, they told when I was in freaking high school. They're like, hey, John, remember that time you were selling sodas illegally out of your locker? This is like,
why would they even prohibit that? That's bull. You were a dealer,
I guess. Yeah,
wow.
I just want to see
Johnny Dealer,
Johnny Dealer, yeah, Johnny Dealer. Man.
The Surge story. I'll have to write that in the notes that came out. The Surge story.
We need that up as a blog.
Yeah, seriously. Oh man, it'll be in the autobiography that Dave writes one day for me, with all the inside details, you know.
Yeah, like just like Plato wrote Socrates, Dave will write.
Holy shit! Okay. We're having a lot of fun, and speaking of a lot of fun, we'll talk about playing games for a minute. Outside of the show, there was some talk of like doing some podcasts about video games, and before it was we were talking about podcasting about video games. Like Nick and I were talking about emulators because we want an easy way to play all these games that we loved, like classic stuff, Super Nintendo, Sega stuff, all this stuff. And so he was researching emulators, and then
a whole week I researched. Yeah.
We mentioned that, like, we were talking about Warlock 89 the other week. And so we're like, hey, by the way, there's a, in the trivia section, we're like, by the way, there's a Warlock video game. Nick, you, what did you do? You went and found it.
I went and Googled it. Yeah. While we were doing the podcast, I got all excited. And then randomly, I got this emulator this week. And ironically, the game is on this emulator. So I actually got to play it.
No.
Yes. Oh, it is so awesome.
You need to take screenshots. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. So you play, who's the main hero in the first one?
Redfern. He's the witch hunter.
So you're that guy. And then Julian Sands, the warlock, is pretty much coming and attacking you randomly, possessing dogs and people, turning them into zombies. And then you're just, you're fighting your way through the levels. I only got to level two so far. And I'm digging the game. It's pretty much been the only game I played on this little emulator I got, and I love it.
So it makes you play the guy from the first movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I heard the game is like has the magic and crystals from like part two.
It's really a weird mixture, yeah.
Yeah, it's a mix, a mashup of both movies or whatever to make a game.
You got like this little ball you throw, and then you have like these like little almost like lasers to attack the people. I'm really digging it so far.
Is there a compass mechanism?
I've only played the first. I'm only on level two so far.
Probably not that complicated. It's probably
It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of Super Nintendo games that you know are more complicated than they look like on the surface, but it's probably a simpler game. Yeah. It was a Super Nintendo game, right?
Yeah. Yes, it was in the Super Nintendo area. Yeah. I mean, this emulator has everything. Nintendo, Genesis. I mean, I'm having
Can we talk about the emulator, John? Because that thing's cool. It's not just like a program.
Yeah, that's just like that's the second thing. Update for our headlines is we are talking about the emulator. I don't know what it's called. It's like some third-party off-market.
Would you get it off of Wish?
I actually got it on Amazon. No, I wouldn't trust that. I actually got it on Amazon.
Nobody should order from Wish.com. China will send you your product like 6 months later, maybe. Yeah.
The product's called the RG280V, if you guys want to look it up on YouTube. It's great. And it's
just a technical name, RG.
Yeah. So if you like go on YouTube, look it up, and I got the one that's designed like a little Game Boy, but the screen's perfect. It's 2.8 inches. It fits in your hand. It fits in your pocket. Great.
There's
I love
it. Cottage industry of these emulators, right?
Like, oh, man. And originally I'm like, God, I'm dying to like go play Lynx games or like Game Boy games. And that would, to get all these games would cost hundreds of dollars. And this thing has it all and it's great. And then you can even add new games. I love it.
Do you remember when Soulja Boy put out his own version? And then he went all big, like they can't touch me. What about intellectual properties? They can't touch me.
Oh, he got touched.
And then like the very next day it was down.
What I'm shocked is that they were selling this on Amazon. I was kind of blown away. Originally, I was like, I have to get this on eBay or something. No,
Amazon has like some, you know, like fine print that says they're not responsible for like what their Amazon sellers do or something. Like
I guess so.
Third parties. Yeah.
Yeah.
The next thing I wanted to bring up is, did you guys hear that Kong is going to use telepathy in the new movie? Which he did. No. Did you guys ever watch any of the King Kong cartoons?
I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, there's like three or four of them, but the one in the early 2000s, which came out with like around the first new movie of his, before Skull Island or whatever, which is like maybe the better of the two, the first one. Mm-hmm. And then like in the 90s, I think there was another cartoon, and maybe in the comic books too, maybe he does this, but that's how he talks to people, is he has like a psychic connection to them. But in the cartoons, he fucking talks like he's got an Oxford education. In the movie, I don't know if he's going to talk like a monkey or what. I don't know what's going to happen in the movie. But so I think, I mean, it's, I don't know. I mean, there's almost a way to communicate with animals. Like, it seems like sometimes if you're, like, you're, like, you know, like Dave sharing videos of playing with his dog in the snow, they seem to understand each other.
Great comparison.
But, you know, like, I mean, I don't think they should have some over elaborate, like, communication. I mean, they made, like, what, 35 Godzilla movies? And Godzilla kind of understands us, and we kind of get Godzilla, but we don't need to have, like, a full-blown...
He's not talking. Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like...
Or maybe, do we know how it's being represented? Like, how they're doing it?
No, it's just, like, a thing floating around on 4chan and Reddit and, like, you know, the forums and shit, you know?
So it could be, like... He just, there's a sound and then an effect.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The only reference for it is like the cartoons, but it's full blown conversations in the cartoons.
What does he control animals like Aquaman or something?
No, no, no. But there was a dude that controlled him. I think, yeah, there's, I might be getting the cartoons mixed up because it was either Kong or Godzilla and they could control the monster. But, these are kaiju movies. All big monster movies are called kaiju movies, it's a subgenre. It started with all the Godzillas and the Mothras and the Gamera, which is a flying turtle. Ultraman is even a kaiju. It just means strange beast. That's all. But
okay.
But I mean, if he's going to have full blown conversations, they might as well just make it a Planet of the Apes, but oversized. You know, like extra large.
Yeah. If they're going to do that for Kong, what are they doing for Godzilla? Like Godzilla, he doesn't get an axe.
No, he's just. Telepathy. But we find out why he has a problem. Why he's the villain is because he has a toothache, and that's it.
Oh, so, there's gonna be like 30 sessions of
Godzilla. Yeah. Is that Johnny so Godzilla spoiler with the capital spoiler?
No, that part was total spoiler. Bullshit. But I just thought it was fun.
Oh no, it is funny, but it was also frightening.
Well, the reason Godzilla was angry in the 90s one is she was pregnant. So
like, yeah, she was. Yeah.
So, toothache is not that far-fetched.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. They heard pretty
good. I was terrified because I thought, oh no, that sounds plausible. And yeah. It sounds really bad plausible. Like they would do it and it would suck. So
we've just come a long way from radiation.
we're having such a good ride right now. We're going to bring the audience down a little bit with the next bit or the next headline. Because we have to address it, because I think like we owe it to her because she's so good at what she did. Gloris Leachman had a pretty full life as far as I can tell. Didn't know her personally, but Gloris Leachman died. She won an Oscar and she was really funny. She was in at least two movies with bad romances. And since it's a theme for the month, we can mention them. She was in The Last Picture Show. That's the one she won the Oscar for. And it actually had a sequel called Texasville.
She
did a ton of stuff. Oh, yeah. She was in The Office, actually. They had a Jack Black play a romantic lead with her in a fake romantic comedy movie that they were watching in The Office.
Wow.
So she's been everywhere. I mean, TV, film. I just thought I would mention it, you know, in the greater TV and film world. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Yeah, she's been around for years. I mean, like years and years, and she's never stopped working. Pop up in things on TV all the time or just like a small role in a movie. Like she was America's grandma for 30, 40 years, give or take.
She's one of those actresses I remember seeing a lot, but I never really remembered what she was in. I would always have to like Google it or something, you know?
Well, basically, if you have an
Frankenstein,
like Dave saying, like a grandma in a comedy that actually has like a good attitude or a good part that tells really zingers is like a, if it's not Betty White, then it's Gloris Leachman.
Dirty movies like Bad Santa or you know stuff like that.
She got lit on fire in a Kevin Hart movie called The Wedding Ringer.
Oh my gosh, really? Wow.
Yeah. They're at like a dinner table and something happens and like she gets lit on fire. I mean, obviously it's a zany, funny sequence, but yeah, that's what happens.
She had amazing timing.
Die in the movie, but you know, it's just really it's stupid funny, but. Like Dave said, she's in like all these, it's all comedy stuff. So,
yeah. She had amazing comedic timing.
Her timing. Yeah, like the stuff she did with Mel Brooks.
She seemed like she had a really good sense of humor. Like she knew how to handle life and she just expressed it through freaking comedic timing.
Well, she was mostly known as a comedian, but I mean, like you said, the thing she won an Oscar for was like
straight up drama.
So dramatic, yeah. Yeah.
What did she win an Oscar for? Do you guys know?
Last Picture Show.
Okay.
Now, she's really great in that movie too. I mean, it's one of the great movies of all time, anyways. I mean, but
yeah, go look it up. It's filled with a bunch of bad romances. People cheating on everybody. Everybody has a side piece. You know, like
yeah,
actually, she's the wife of some dote or whatever who happens to have like a sexuality question. But then, like, one of the two main teenagers is having an affair with her or whatever. She's like a housewife or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
What's Jeff Bridges' character is like having an affair with her at the beginning of the movie? Let's see. So anyway,
naughty. But hey, to make it light, go watch Young Frankenstein. I think Adam mentioned that.
Oh
earlier,
yeah.
She's Val Blooker.
All right, we'll move on to first impressions of Warlock 2, which is again officially called Warlock the Armageddon, but I like to just refer it as Warlock 2 because Warlock the Armageddon is a really long title, really hard to say. Nick, what are your first impressions of Warlock 2?
I had so much fun with this one. I actually like this better than the first one. I know. It's crazy.
I'm with you.
It is crazy. We're going to be committed.
Yeah, I really dug this one. I committed.
Well, you can commit me because I'm with Nick. I mean, I think I said this last week, but I saw this. My dad took me to this in the theater, so I was like 10 years old when it came out. Thought it was awesome then. Watched it for the first time in like over 20 years. Still awesome today. It takes a little long. It takes a few to get into it, but man, it's fun.
It's good. I agree.
Okay, well, I'll weigh in. two words: very disappointed.
Oh, man. But he, last week, audience, he did like the other one more. So, Dave, we're like on the same page.
Yeah.
Dave had much longer comments before the show. Dave had like this whole, what did you say?
Well, yeah, I just, what did I say? I don't know. I just thought this movie was like the right amount of stupid. Like, I'm kind of glad it wiped away the first movie. And this is the movie I wanted the first one to be. This is just dumb. It knows it's dumb.
Me too.
It knows it's fun. Like, there's so many good kills in this movie, but they're ridiculous. But I don't know. It has a good tone to it.
I think that's what you said. So dumb, funny, or so stupid.
Yeah, it was the right amount of stupid. It was like the right amount of cheese on my burger, kind of.
Cheese on my burger. I like it. Dave.
So I'm trying to go back to my first impressions because Dave was like, this is pre-show, folks, and things we bring up, we have private conversations on our Facebook Messenger to like plan the shows. Dave said, I haven't watched this in 25 years. And I was like, holy shit. So he made me think of, like, when did I watch it last? Like, it literally 1999 was the last time I saw this movie. People are like, I was born in 1999. Yeah, go fuck yourself. I was already here. All right.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's been a while. But my first impression, I'm trying to think, like, I think I saw the trailer on another video, right? Like, on another movie, right? Mm. So I'm getting a little distracted. Nick keeps playing with his avatar.
It keeps going out.
We're in a stream yard, folks, so we can see each other's icons.
He keeps distracting.
Popping his and out, and he picked a hunky boy. And he's taking it away. All right. He's staring at the muscles, and it's gone. Okay. All right. So my first impression would be like, oh, this seems awesome. I got to go rent this movie. I got to find it. You know, like, again, watched it on another horror movie. Probably Warlock 1. You know what I mean? Like, right, coming attractions or something, like, before the, you know, other movie or whatever. So yeah, I gotta find it. Was probably, I'm gonna write that down.
I think it was
maybe it was on a Leprechaun VHS.
I think it was Leprechaun.
Yeah. Was it Leprechaun? See, I couldn't remember.
It was Leprechaun.
Yeah, so it's on another Trimark video or whatever. So we'll be right back with our favorite bits and some more relationship analysis right after these messages from AA.
See what's on Stars special offer: $5 a month for 6 months. Get access to thousands of movies and hit original series with this limited-time offer. Catch new episodes of American Gods streaming now, and don't miss the series premiere of Men in Kilts on February 14th. Get access to your favorite shows, thousands of movies, and exclusive behind-the-scenes bonus content. It's a limited-time special offer. You can cancel any time online. There's no long-term contract. Discounted annual subscriptions. No commitment, 44% off for 6 months. Grab our affiliate link to start watching. CBS All Access We have another offer for you. The binge watchers really want to hook you up. CBS All Access is growing and will become Paramount Plus on March 4th. Access tens of thousands of episodes from CBS, BET, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and Smithsonian Channel, as well as hundreds of iconic movies from Paramount Pictures. Plus, you'll always stay in the conversation with the best in live events, reality competitions, sports, and news. Can't wait? Get in first by signing up for a CBS All Access annual plan now. And for a limited time, get 50% off your first year. On March 4th, your subscription will automatically switch over to Paramount Plus. Now, this is peak streaming. To start your free trial, grab our link. These are paid links. We are supported by sponsors as well as affiliate links to keep the podcast rolling. We appreciate it. And now, back to the show, already in progress.
All right, my favorite bit was actually I texted these, or I messaged these guys earlier in the week. It is when Julian Sands comes out of the body, like he's like the lady's giving birth, and he comes out all juicy, and which is crack. As Adam said, it was like a baby turd, or what'd you say?
Satan's turd. Oh, I don't know.
Satan's turd came out. Yeah, I love that opening, and I love the mirror scene too.
Oh man, I think the title of this episode needs to be Juicy Sands.
Yes, it's so juicy.
Oh my gosh.
I love the Picasso scene, him turning the guy into the art. That was great. And there's another bit I really loved. It's just a bit of acting, but like this is why I like this movie. It has like perfect bad acting, and the scene where the girl kills herself and the father's like, "No." Or just like non-reactionary, that just something about it killed me. Good bad acting in this movie.
Remember what you just said when we get to our best relationship in the movie section and worst relationship in the movie sections and why, because you might have hit on one. So
All right.
And then AA, what's your favorite bit from Warlock 2?
I think Nick to a certain degree stole it, because I think the movie starts out really strong with some really cool Hellraiser type effects of the body coming from almost nothing and being able to emerge. But that weird thing that she gets pregnant with, like her pregnancy was all of like 60 seconds.
It's pretty quick. Yeah.
Like
that warlocks grow fast.
Yeah.
And while it's just sitting there on the ground, it doesn't even resemble a baby in any way, shape, or form. It's just like this crud with a tail on it, which looks like a tail, and it's all...
Yeah, the only trivia I can find about this movie is they wanted that to be the most disgusting, horrifying thing that they could do. So
they put a lot of effort into it, yeah. And...
it looked great, yeah.
Yeah, and when they got the dog, you knew, like, that thing was gross, right? And I thought we'd see some kind of like baby come out of that thing, but that's not exactly what happened. Like a full grown man, like it starts unfolding and inflating, and then almost inflating. And then this man just emerges and shoots out from it. And it's gross. He's like breaking through layers of stuff. And it was pretty amazing.
Well, define gross. If you like penises, there's a penis flash.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that.
A prosthetic penis. Julian, it's kind of floppy, so I assume it's the real Sands.
Not that I was looking, but they did paint
it's
that
unavoidable.
Part of his...
I saw it. Yeah, it was in my face.
TVs are pretty big these days, right? So you watch it.
you might not have noticed it on 4K. VHS, but you do now. Yeah.
You didn't see it on 720, but in 4K, holy shit.
Oh, it's
oh yeah, you're it's you're right up there with your magnifying glass. But anyway, so... They had that part of his body painted dark. I don't know if you guys noticed, but
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they hid it. Yeah. No, but it was dark enough so that it wasn't seen.
Oh, it only suggested a penis. You're right. That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you realize we're talking about favorite bits here, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, favorite naughty bits.
Julian Sands.
There are probably other good scenes of this movie, but,
how could you struggle? This movie's filled with them.
I also like the Picasso murder. I like the idea of turning the guy into a living art, and he's like going to be tortured forever as a some on somebody's shelf. But you guys are forgetting about the elevator kill. Like, the guy who thinks he can take the warlock on by himself, who steals the magical daggers, that the only thing that can kill the warlock, goes to track him down in the city, and then, like, his little bug compass is freaking out in his pocket. He's stuck on the elevator with the warlock, doesn't know what to do, sweating meat. People get in and off the elevator. He has a chance to leave the elevator, and then the warlock exits, and you mentioned Hellraiser-style shit before. I actually feel like there are some moments that remind me of both Hellraiser and Lord of Illusions.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
But the elevator kill, that's my favorite bit.
That is a good kill.
It was pretty amazing because you kind of saw that there was going to be a conflict coming, but when it finally came, it already went.
Yeah, but to see the guy like totally like eviscerated all
The bones are sticking the entire to the elevator, side.
But the warlock is pristine, no blood on him, he's completely clean. But the guy, every part of the guy is just like painted the freaking inside of the elevator.
Yeah.
Pretty he's awesome. Got good Scotch guard.
That was pretty cool.
I
also, just to throw it out there, I love the scene, the part where he just rips that chick's like her scalp off, or just her hair. Like Like, here you go. Look at it.
She kept talking about it. My gosh.
Check it out.
I think that's what elevated this movie to me, is this movie at least had a sense of humor. The first one is very serious by comparison.
Yes. This was fun. I think that's what I really honed on to. I had more fun with this one.
I feel like it was in a similar vein. I think it was a lot closer because, like, when he first bites the guy's tongue off in the first one, I mean, that's done so you're shocked. It establishes him as a bad guy, but then he's like, he spits it into the breakfast skillet so that it could be breakfast for the guy. I mean, like, you
know? yummy breakfast. Yeah.
So this movie kind of does stuff like that. I mean, think about being able to take the demon or Satan or whatever it is coming out of that, you know, thing at the end. And it's just like some halogen headlights on a truck. Like,
it felt like a 90s metal music video on a low budget, the devil at the end.
Yeah.
The power of GMC compels you. What are you talking about?
Yeah. In fact, it was probably for the music video of the song at the very end, which I got to say, I appreciated the movie being over and kicking to like kick-ass metal, like...
So part of the theme for this month is bad relationships. So that could be romances, or just relationships in general. So we're going to analyze the relationships now, just for the hell of it. So, best relationship in the movie and why? Nikki Lates?
I think it's Julian Sands in these gemstones. I think that's the best relationship.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't even think of that. That's funny.
I mean, it's almost like Thanos. Like, someone made a comment like marble. Like, it's like...
You look at the YouTube comments now. Like, Dave said that as well.
Yeah.
The YouTube comments on the trailer, if you go look up the trailer on YouTube, is it like, it looks like Marvel stole the Infinity Story from Warlock?
Yes.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Because I'm sure the comics were printed before they made the movie in the early 90s. If anything,
I'm sure.
Not only that,
I guess anything with magic stones is now going to be compared to Infinity.
Well, right? We need to go look up when they invented
when those Infinity stones. Story. I know. Wow. Like, yeah, was it 90s or 80s?
I think it was 80s. So, but
yeah, the first Infinity conflicts, Thanos was introduced in the 80s.
Well, Thanos was introduced in the 70s, but I don't know about the Infinity Stone idea.
Yeah, but that's an old idea of like in any old movie of like you have to get these items and you have to have them all at once to rule everything. Like it's not a new thing, really.
It's an old cliche.
Magic only works when you get the things, everywhere.
Yeah, even Ming has a power ring, right? And that's from all the radio serials from the 30s with Flash Gordon. He has a magic ring.
Oh, you're right.
Oh, yeah, the magic rings back in.
Wasn't the radio, Shadow or the Phantom or something? Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about the fucking Hobbit, but they have lots of magic.
Oh, yeah.
And they really know how to do some dishes.
Yeah. Where are we? We're losing track.
I don't know.
I'm up to the relationship.
Dave, you're up. Some dangerous analysis on the relationships in this movie. Best relationship and why?
I'd just say the two teenagers, because they're the only ones that seem to actually like care about each other and not like, I had to kill you.
I would say that's one of the weaker ones, and basically they just use the metaphors of Romeo and Juliet the fact the movie makes of stage play and it's Romeo and Juliet, and like they're already drawing comparisons to star-crossed lovers. I don't think they spend a lot of time in this movie establishing the relationship between the teens. We see them kissing in one scene. Then the other guy's like, I'm a druid. And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? You're making me crazy right now. And then like, she talks to her dad. So I would argue that that's one of the weaker relationships in the movie, but
yeah, I didn't just even argue that they're also even.
Luke, when he said the best relationship is a fucking rock and a dude, like,
I think it was. I'm just saying.
All right,
I don't disagree with Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first boy that we see associated with her is the wrong guy. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that bully guy. So we don't even really understand how close they are or whatever, because the dad seems to be inviting the long haired guy to date his daughter. You know what I mean? At the very beginning. So
are you going to pick her up and see a movie this week or something? He says, Yeah.
And then immediately that guy's changing and bullying the other kid. And I'm just like, what's happening here? But yeah, not sold.
This is one of those movies that has tail ends and things cut off. Like it always seems like the scenes start late or start early, and like it just missing information, you know?
Cut down, or do you think it's just
cut it for time and then some of it doesn't make sense?
Cut it for the budget. Like, it's made for $3 million and it only grossed back $3.9 million. So I think, like,
I remember when it came out, it didn't do good.
They probably chopped this bitch as they were running from location, like, you know, trying to lock down sets to shoot the guy. You know what I mean? Like, the town's a soundstage, like Main Street, you know what I mean? It's a studio somewhere or whatever, but.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Trimark was like the 90s equivalent of like Roger Corman, like run and gun, like, sorry, you got 5 days, get it done.
Maybe.
I wonder how long they spent shooting this. Yeah.
Who knows? Wait, I thought I saw that too, but now I didn't write it down because I didn't think we were going to talk about it. Sorry. only like 16 weeks.
Oh, with like the whole production from beginning to end?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty quick. I mean, like, wow.
Adam, what do you think? Best relationship in the movie? What do you think?
Well, Julian and his master that he's... No, I'm just joking. I think the best one is the two guys that know the truth, right? Apparently, the guy that becomes a preacher is like, what, an ex-druid? If I'm going to infer this correctly. So he's supposed to know. So the relationship that they've had, where one guy's trying to deny,
like a druid in the closet. That's what that dude is.
Yeah. He's trying to deny his past and act like all that stuff is woo woo. And that's not for me. And so the daughter has no idea what she comes from. And he's the guy that left. And then all the things that happen that end up, you know, bringing them back together.
You're saying the two dad druids, the preacher and the bookstore.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really interesting. And look, they were willing to fight alongside one another and go head to head with the warlock, even though they weren't the warriors.
I would argue that the best relationship in the, well, not argue, because we're already like 40 minutes in. I'm going to say, in my opinion, or as Dave says, in my HO, whatever, humble opinion, the best relationship I think is between the dad druid and who I'm just calling the druid son. Cause I'm not even keeping track of their names. Just like the boy, the girl, the preacher, the dad, the hillbilly. Yeah. You know? So the dad who teaches the son, you know, about the druid powers. And again, like Obi-Wan, I mean, they have him dressed like he's got Yoda's colors on. He's got Jedi colors on. This is like Anthony Hickox's like, oh, this is my Star Wars. You know what I mean?
This is my 3 million Star Wars.
Yeah. Going all out, guys.
When he's first learning to use the Force in this movie, they even play...
And when Yoda came in, it was weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, hey, Nick, what do you think is the worst relationship in the movie?
I honestly think our two main characters. I was not feeling it. Although I do have a crush on the one girl that was in Hellraiser 3. I remember when I was younger, I used to have a really big crush on her because she was in Hellraiser 3, I think the year before this. And then it makes sense that she was in this movie now, which I didn't know until I saw this. I'm going off about my crush. I'm sorry. But I think they were the two main characters were my worst relationship.
Dave?
I'd say between a father and any of their children, like both parents, like either kill or let their kid kill themselves in front of them. So I know greater good and all, I guess, but I don't know. They're just like, all right, I had to kill you. It wasn't hard.
Wow. Mine is the kid and his relationship with that baseball. That is the worst relationship. Mm. And you also have to throw in the compositor into that arrangement, because that is some awful looking stuff. And it's hard.
We
don't have enough time
this,
to talk about the knife.
Oh yeah.
I'm going to talk about that knife. Is there time? I'm going to add that thing on, but we'll talk about that later. You can have like actual compositing where you have shot something against a blue screen or green screen. And then you've got, I'm just going to throw something on top of the frame. It'll be fine. We'll fix it in post. And some of that's in here. And it's a shame because this movie has some really amazing effects in it. So
and it has a mix of effects. Remember,
the practical effects are pretty good, I thought. I mean, yeah.
Yes, you're right. The practical effects, anything superimposed look like, you know, I don't even know. Like,
I mean, my favorite bit in the movie, like the opening we were talking about, that looks beautiful. And then the end scene, I don't want to ruin it, but the Julian Sands stuff at the end, that looked really good too, I thought.
Yeah, oh yeah, they did a great job. Anything practical looked pretty fantastic. It's just some of that other stuff is like, whoa.
It's dated, yeah.
Well, okay,
it's crazy to think that this came out the same year as Jurassic Park. Keep that
in mind. I know, right? Yeah. 3 months later.
Yeah. There's really no comparison there.
It's hard to watch. Yeah.
John, what's your you know, worst relationship in the movie opinion?
Gosh, I don't know. I originally was gonna say the warlock to his mother when he first shows up in the world.
Oh yeah.
That's a good point. Like, he has a bad relationship with, you know, Father Evil. And also, I mean, the teens, their relationship sucks. So, I even when the son gets hurt, it's like, why bother stay alive and go save her? Who gives a shit? Also, she just magically has better powers than his. Like, before she even gets, I don't know, resurrected, because they're saying they can't become druid warriors till they get killed and come back, right? So,
yeah.
But she just naturally takes to it. I'm like, oh, whatever.
She's like, oh, that's cool. I know this is real. I'm going to kill myself.
We're getting a little bit long on this one. We had a lot of fun talking, but we almost have no time for fan service or to play What Should I Watch? So we got to make an executive decision here. We go to bonus content and throw that up later, or we just end it now and say, great job, let's move. We'll be back next week. Or we just go a little bit long and do our other segments. What do you guys want to do?
I'm done for anything.
I'm for going long, but
I'm for going long mostly because I want to mention another relationship.
All right. Let me just break the fourth wall real quick. Audience, here's why John doesn't like to go long. Because John discovered in a podcast that's 26 minutes long, you get critical minutes that are 16 minutes long for an audience, and they hear one commercial at 8 minutes. In a 45-minute show, you get this critical mass at 30 minutes approximately they're listening. And in about, I don't know, between 20, 25 minutes, if you drop two ads, there might be a call to action, but that's marketing. Our show's not about marketing, but this is stuff that John constantly thinks about in the back of his mind because he also has to wear the hat of marketing the show. It's two times harder to market a show that goes longer than an hour than it is to market a show at 45 minutes. Other than that, Adam said he would like to discuss another relationship in the movie.
Boom. Hey, yeah.
Warlock going behind the scenes at the fashion show, and woman is seduced so easily. Because she thinks she's going to get, like, they're going to do something. And then instead, he flies her up, you know, to get the crystal. And that doesn't end too well for her. I thought that, you know, when he zoomed up, I thought that those effects look great. You know, simple, but very effective. Unlike what happened.
Better than the
later.
Flying in the first movie.
Definitely.
Definitely that, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a scene in this movie that is way worse than anything in the first movie.
No, I feel like they get it over more quickly, so you don't, it's done. You know, like, they probably told him, you gotta make your warlock fly, and he's like, why the fuck? So you see mostly the trees and the girl on the motorcycle as a distraction from the bad flying. You know, like, it's very done pretty quickly.
And because
his relationship to flying
Well, he didn't need to sacrifice a child this time around. So that proves that even in the first movie, it's that much more evil.
No, time out. You can't compare the world. They're different warlocks.
Yeah, not, I don't know if I agree with that theory, though.
The first movie was a human dude that gained powers, right? And was associated as one of the sons of Satan. Like, in that movie, it implies there's more than one. So, in the first movie, any of the children could have been successful to bring about the end of times by finding the secret book or whatever. But in this movie, he's manifested as the son of Satan. And because of the 600 years, six stones, six guardians, you know, six signs of the end, it's not the same dude.
Because he said he was older than the other guy could imagine or whatever. I just viewed him as a reincarnation of the first warlock.
I think because they break mythology and show us a different origin story, it's a deviation.
No, right? I think it's a continuation because in the first movie, he gets wiped out. And then in this, it's a rebirth.
All the film scholars are arguing that this is not the same warlock, and I agree with them.
I disagree with all of them.
Yes, God damn it, Dave. All the video...
Are scholars talking about this movie? I didn't even know that.
Oh my gosh, yes, they are. Wow. Look, we're all talking about it.
Movies, you deserve a degree in film watching, all right? Okay?
This is like on the Sight and Sound list next to like, you know, La Jetée.
Yeah, fucking A.
Oh, we'll agree
up there.
You know, the Seventh Seal.
Oh, yeah. It's there.
So... Good Jason stuff. Instagram story. John?
Adam also likes to break the fourth wall on the fact that he will just dig into the podcast notes and tell the audience stuff that are for the podcasters to keep the podcast rolling down. Judge Jason, that's the guy's name on Instagram. His name is just Jason, but he adds like six J's to his name. He pipes up every once in a while because he likes us, likes our show. He's been following me on Instagram for, I don't know, a couple years or something. He got really active talking about the show. But what's funny is the day we dropped the first Warlock 89 episode, I made a post, right? Like, hey, and it's usually I share the episode art, right? And like tell people what the episode's about. I dropped that and he's like, wow, this is cool because I just watched Warlock. You know what I mean? So
perfect timing.
He literally just, you know, a movie fan, just watched that movie, and then here we are talking about it. So then he went and listened to our podcast, and then I'm talking to him in the comments like, hey, so you saw part one, but have you seen, you know, part two? It's more fantasy than horror, but, you know, maybe take a look at it. It's also good. He went and watched it and commented literally like 90 minutes later or whenever the movie ended. He came back and told me his opinion of part two. I'm like, dude,
nice.
I'm a rabid podcast fan, a rabid binge watchers fan. And, like, he's, like, the perfect example of our fandom because we're professional binge watchers, but we're talking to other binge watchers who can participate in the show by telling us what they're watching, why they're watching it, and asking us questions, right? So, like, that was just, like, a really great moment of, like, we talked about a movie, dude watched the movie, and then told us what he thought. You know, like, that's the perfect exchange, I think, you know? So,
oh, totally.
That's the fan service for this week, and it's a, like, a primo example of – like our engagement. And then the other thing came from a dude named Ed via email. Ed wants to know if we've seen WandaVision, which is on Disney Plus. It's the new Marvel show. If so, what do we think? And what do we think is happening? They're like halfway through the first season. Maybe there's been like four episodes. I don't even know if all of us have seen this. I know that Dave and I have. So
I haven't, so I can't really speak for it.
That's your answer.
I have nothing to say. Yeah.
We'll just go down the line. We'll go down the line and play WandaVision, like real quick.
Yeah.
Dave.
I want to.
Yeah.
Me and John talked about this the other day. I love those first three episodes, and I'm in the minority. I hated this fourth episode. I don't want anything else but the damn sitcom. Just the damn sitcom. Nothing else. Give me Bewitched with these two characters and nothing else. And that's not going to happen. So okay, I might be dropping off.
No, you're dropping a bomb now or something.
So let's speculate that the main characters are trapped in a fictional universe with inside the reality of the show. And the plot device to move them through this artificial world is the characters imagining themselves trapped in famous sitcoms. But it's not real. And I'm like, it's funny. And the Marvel Universe, or DC for that matter, take note, they could have a show that is a sitcom. Like, DC has Booster Gold, who's a guy in the future who travels back in time because he wants to be a hero, but is very much like a television reality star. That would be a funny sitcom. Or Deadpool and Marvel would make a funny half-hour show. You know, like, so...
Yeah.
You can do it. There's a lot of, like, B-list bench-warmer characters in both universes that wouldn't cost a lot of money, and they could throw them out, like, Great Lakes Avengers or whatever, right? They could do these things, but there's nowhere for WandaVision to go if they don't ever leave the plot device they're using just to give the show elements. Like, that's not what the show is really about. It's just a gimmick, right? They're trying to get through the gag to get you somewhere. So for my stake in watching the show, it's going to wear on me, and I don't want them to stay in the sitcom universe because that's not what the show actually is. It's all a mindfuck. So they're going to move past the mindfuckery and get down to, like, you know, like Thanos-level fighting or something again. You know what I mean? So
yeah, we're on such opposite ends. I think we both like it, but I just like the sitcom and nothing else.
It's setting up the next movie. Like, they're doing this thing now where, just like comic books, remember when you had to, like, pick up Spider-Man 457, but then the story continued in Punisher 663? You know what I mean? Like,
crossover.
So that's what they're doing in their movies and TV shows, is, like, WandaVision is setting something up for Spider-Man 3, and Spider-Man 3 is setting something up for you know, Doctor Strange 2. You know what I mean? So it's like, that's what's going to happen, is they're going to, Marvel and Disney are like, we're going to get them everywhere. They're going to have to watch the show to understand the movie to, you know, watch the next show. And, like,
see, and that's where they lose me. Like, I don't want to watch 20 other things to understand one movie. Like, that's stupid. I'm sorry. It just is. Yeah. Each story should be self-contained.
It's not only you combine the words soup and stupid into one word.
So, yeah, one it is super.
Word, that it's is so, so stupid. You have to go eat a bowl of soup.
Like, I don't know. Like, I know I'm in the minority here. I know people love MCU, and I don't dislike the MCU, but, like, sometimes I just want my entertainment to be self-contained. I just don't want to do research to watch something that's 2 hours. Like, come on.
I have to know everything that happened five episodes before.
You know, Adam's a comic artist, and he's way into comics. Adam knows a lot about comics. If we have comic questions, we should direct him probably to Adam. I mean, I just remember reading comics mostly in the 90s, so I remember these older stories. I don't really keep up with the new stuff, and the movies are catching up to, like, the stories that I read, and they're turning those into movies, which I think is cool. But and they change a couple of things to trick people or to move things around. But like, the origin of the Vision is different in the movies than the books. But I'm trying to figure out where I'm going with this. Where am I going with this? I wish Adam would watch some of these movies, but he has a thing about Disney, right? So that gets under his skin. And mostly it's their, like, their politics and their ideology and, like, their conduct with, like, how they absorb all these other. And I understand. I get it. To some level, I respect
Adam. They're buying everything. And yeah, yeah.
So I respect your opinion of the monopoly and, like, what they're doing and, like, what they do to creators when creators, like, color outside the lines and Disney crucifies them. I get it. But I still love some of the stuff they're cranking out. So, you know, it's really a difficult relationship that I have with Disney Plus right now because I love Mandalorian.
But there's no doubt that they can.
You would like,
make
Adam, I know you would like some of the movies that they've made. Like, you would probably like the Captain America movie. You might like some of the Infinity War stuff. Like, there's some.
Well, I've seen a lot of them.
Thor 3, you would love, I think. Thor 3 is a comedy. And it's Taika Waititi or whatever his name is.
Which one?
I butcher his name, and I apologize if he ever hears me say his name. It'll be the end of our relationship. Because I have a hard time saying his name, but he's the guy who's hard. You know,
I get it.
He did Jojo Rabbit and What We Do in the Shadows, and
the movie we watched a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Hunt for the Wilder
People. Yeah.
So I know you would love his Thor 3.
I might have seen it. My Disney boycott was sporadic. I just had to watch it at, like, a friend's house or something. I just didn't want any of my money to go to them because I shouldn't say that out loud.
You're gonna get a job 5 years from now. They're gonna come haunt you.
Oh, we know. HR needs to give you a little talk, Mister. yeah. No. I mean, like, look, they make quality work. I just don't like domination. I don't like it. I want the underdog to win. I want the little guy to win. I want, you know, the small intellectual property to, you know, survive in a marketplace where everything gets gobbled up by 2-3 companies. I just, you know, that's how I look at the world. That's who I want to win. I want the filmmaker that's got $100,000 budget to be able to make a movie that grosses $100 million and change his life and start a production company and help other people make more movies that are great. You know, that's what so it's all a part of how I look at the world. So that's a huge deviation from what we're talking about. Let's talk about that terrible CG knife in Warlock Armageddon.
Wow. I want to steal one of Nick's catchphrases unless he knows what he should say in this moment.
Yeah.
You want me to say that right now? Oh, yeah. Shit got real.
Yeah, there you go.
I thought you were telling me to say late. I thought you were telling me
to say late. No. Okay. Just cut it out.
Like the show just ended right there. All right, yeah. This is Nicky T. Late.
And then I come on with a disclaimer. I come back on. Adam, we do not share the opinion of Adam.
What I think is going to happen now.
I personally don't think that
it's his own. Yeah. Totally his own.
I would love to work for Disney. Yes.
I was just going to say, I think Adam just drew first blood. Now Disney's going to buy the show and crush us. Thanks, yeah. Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
They're going to rehire different
Disney, people. I will work for you. I don't care.
They're going to hire everybody, different people for
us. You know
us.
What?
Yeah. No, they're going to hire all of you back.
Dave.
Because I didn't save anything bad.
At the beginning of the show, we talked about how I sold soda. I won't. If an opportunity arises, I'll be there. You just said
you
we're going
to not sell to Disney.
Binge Watchers podcast brought to you by Disney, and it's like four new dudes. It's not us at all. It's like, but they have our names. They have our names.
They bought our names.
They have our names. They use. Oh my gosh,
that's the younger, slicker Jones. Version looking of us.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. Wow. Here's AAA. You know.
AAA. Oh, man. At the scene.
Johnny Dealer.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be spoilers. It'd be something else because they crush spoilers online, right? Like anything that leaks, they kill it. Like, so it'd be like, I don't know what it would be like.
Deleterious Dave,
Johnny, no details with the premise. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they have those
no details with the premise. I like it.
They just, oh man, that's too good.
Pretty like soon, I'm gonna get a cease and desist letter saying I can't be called Dangerous Dave anymore because they own the name.
Oh my god!
Oh, dude!
Wow!
Wow.
Whatever thought I had, that eradicated it.
So I'm looking for things to watch. I need to ask my buddies what I should be watching. Hey, Nick, what should I watch?
Well, I got a treat for you, John. I got two guys. They're young and they're starting their careers in life. One's a cop trying to make it up to the highest ranks possible. And another guy's a bad guy trying to get into the scene and become this tough drug dealer, right? So they both, of course, meet in one night at this. It's like fate. They meet, and then, of course, the cop takes down the bad guy, and then the bad guy goes to jail, and then years later, the bad guy gets out, and then gets revenge. All he wants to do is get revenge on the cop that put him down because they were both going at like they met. Like it was almost serendipity that they met, because if they didn't meet, either one would have got where they would have got, but then the bad guy's going out and getting revenge.
I'm so confused by what you're talking about.
Are you confused? Did I not do it right? Oh my gosh. It's called Ricochet. It's with Denzel Washington and John Lithgow. Amazing movie. I totally bombed that. Huh? Oh my gosh. I'm so embarrassed. Oh, never mind.
For a second there, I was just imagining the club scenes from the Miami Vice remake.
Probably would have. Yeah, I mean, it was in the 90s. Yeah.
For half a moment until you said cops, I was thinking, like, is he talking about Old Boy or what number of revenge movies?
I was trying to describe it without giving you guys like the main characters, you know. That's where I messed up, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
But it's a good movie. It's a good movie.
I don't know.
For a second there, because you're talking about nightclubs and cops, I also thought for a second maybe you were talking about We Own the Night.
Oh yeah.
So
I haven't seen that in years. Yeah. Anyway, that was my bad.
I cannot give you. I can award you no points.
I don't blame anyone. I probably bombed. Yes.
I'm going to give you half a point because of your enthusiasm, yes. but I also because I watched this recently and I could be convinced to watch it again. It was a fun movie.
It's so good, dude. It's so good.
The only reason I want to give you a full point is because mine is probably going to sound a lot like yours.
Oh, I like
so
it.
I think I'm going to give you a full point.
Yes. All right, I got one and a half.
Get an early lead, 1.5
points. And a half, yeah.
Okay. Dave? All right, so there's this Disney movie. No.
Oh, my gosh. No points, just for this joke.
I watched, oh, man, this is a good week. I watched a lot of good things, but the thing I'm going to pitch you on is Pan's Labyrinth. I don't know the last time if you guys seen that movie. Oh, my God, that movie holds up so well. I mean, much like this movie, it's a fantasy. It's definitely, or much like Warlock, I mean, it's a fantasy. A lot of great practical effects. I mean, anything we complained about Warlock was that you don't have that problem with this movie. Do I need to describe Pan's Labyrinth to everybody? I think it's kind of like a pretty well-known movie at this point.
No, I'd say describe it, because that's
yeah, you have to describe it.
That's the pitch.
I'm not so sure if I want to watch it again. Go, Dave.
All right, so a young girl in war-torn Spain in the World War II has to move with her mom to a new general's house. The general is a really bad guy, crushes people's face-ins with wine bottles. And she also gets stuck in the lower world with the Fawn. God, I'm going to lose because I can't think how to describe this movie well. Why should you see this? Because this movie, even though it's a fantasy, it's also the most realistic movie. Like the spirit, the fantasy world is evil and the real world is just as evil.
I should have just cut this whole segment tonight.
I was trying to move things along and you're like, hey, describe it more. All right, I guess.
We're bombing, guys.
Hey, I saw a movie called Pan's Labyrinth and I know you've seen it already, but what do you...
title, you're like, hey, you want to watch Pan's Labyrinth?
Hey, that's all you need.
You guys want to watch Terminator 2? Yeah,
you should watch it because it's like a great fantasy with some of the best special effects and practical effects in a long time since The Thing, even though they're very different movies.
I feel like you're just digging yourself a grave now.
Yeah, I've accepted loss at this point.
Oh, wow.
Hey, guys, what do you think?
What do you guys give Dave?
Nothing.
Dave, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to give you a zero just because I'm going. I love that movie, but I'm going off your pitch, man. I'm going off Fair your enough. Pitch. Yeah.
Okay. I don't want Dave to feel bad about himself, so I'm going to give him half a point.
Oh, my God.
Half a point. All right. What about you, Josh?
Sympathy point. Thanks.
Hey, it's Pan's Labyrinth, okay?
All right, Johnny, what about you?
So it's a movie about a maze, I guess, what I can gather from that title.
Yes, it has David Bowie and a crop.
Oh, Pan's Labyrinth.
It's Adam's turn.
Oh, I thought.
Dave. No, but I mean, I'm sorry. John, what was your
I thought
point?
We're going out of order here. Okay.
Oh, no, I started. You didn't hear me? I said nothing at the very
Okay,
top.
Cool. Okay.
Oh,
so
okay. Oh nothing. Okay. Well, that sounds like an interesting movie. Tell us more. So, okay. I was going to try to sneak in The Little Things, knowing that two of you have seen it already, but I guess I'm not going to do that now. I watched a movie called The Claw of the Devil, and it
starts a movie?
It starts off with this guy. He brings his bride home, and his parents have never met her before. Actually, it's like his aunt and uncle. Maybe it's his parents. Anyway, they're like, oh, hell no, you're not going to marry this girl. So they start messing with her and snubbing her. And then they put her in the uncle's old bedroom because they wanted to go home, but it's night and it's dangerous outside. Yeah. So they send her up in the attic. And while she's in the attic, she's attacked. The door is locked and she's attacked by some crazy creature that comes up through the floorboards. That's in the crawl space in between the attic and the regular house. And she's never the same. They cart her off to the loony bin. And then these kids in the around the town start, you know, killing each other and having orgies and they're all turning against and the people of the town and absorbing more and more people into their little cult.
Is this a Shudder movie?
Yeah, it is on Shudder, yeah.
What year is this movie?
It's I think it's like 1973.
Okay, cool.
But it was shot in England, and it's a kind of a treat. It has scenes in the movie that were very shocking. Like shocking. Like I was like, and I don't know. It's a solid recommend for me. Just these weird little movies that make you feel uncomfortable. And it
that's
brings
what you
that
should
home.
Have said right there. You should have said it's a weird little movie that makes you uncomfortable. It's called Claws of the Devil and has a monster.
I'll give you
I'm going to give him a point too, because like I think the monster that's crawling between the floor spaces, that sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the movie. My pitch was long. Sorry.
John, what about you?
I actually did watch The Little Things.
What about for your point, though?
I did watch The Little Things this week.
Oh, okay. And so
I'd like to pose a question for why you should watch it, actually. Do you guys like mystery movies? And if you like mystery movies, detective movies, where they're trying to solve a crime, if you like trying to solve the murderer, you know, the murders before the detectives, then you'll like The Little Things. If I tell you more about it, it'll ruin the ending. So that's all I'm going to say.
My favorite part of The Little Things is when Denzel Washington gets on the ship with the aliens.
The fuck happened in that movie?
I don't know. I guess a half a point based on your description, but I've seen it and I just don't want to see it again.
Wow.
Half a point.
So half a point based off of his description, but I know what it is.
I'm not really sold on John's description, so I'm going to say a zero. No point.
Wow.
Retain that lead.
I need to know what if John gave me a point or not.
Yeah, that's what I asked, John. Did you give him a point?
He literally said, and so Little Things indicated I award you no points.
is that what that meant? I never got an official.
Yeah, answer. I didn't hear
we're all biased because if we don't like what somebody says about their movie, then we don't award points.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that at all. No.
I just at a pure clerical, you know,
I told you what you had to say. Like,
so is that no point then? But
it's just like when you're in like a story writing class, like, hey, well, everybody's going to read their scene they wrote today, and like it's really hard to be self-critical and figure out the flaws of like your thing. Like, I know I stumbled in my Little Things thing, but if I really tell you about the end, nobody will watch it at all. And there's like a 50-50 split online. Like, some people like it, some people don't. And Dave's already seen it, so he's already formed an opinion. So it's hard to just hear off a pitch. I get that. But what I said about your thing, Adam, was like, it was taking so long for me to listen to like what it was. If you just literally said what I said, like, hey, this movie's on Shudder right now. It's in the 70s. There's a freaking monster and kids are going nuts. Okay, then I might go queue it up. You know what I mean? But like, this happens.
No, it wasn't all this happens, this
and
happens.
Nick,
it was...
You usually have a strong description, but tonight, like,
I was all over the place.
Movies that I thought you were talking about.
Oh, I was all over the place. Yeah.
No, I
messed up.
In retrospect, Dave just saying, I watch Pan's Labyrinth, what do you think? Like, it's probably the strongest pitch. Like,
so next week I come in and say I watched Terminator 2. You should see it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, we'll come up with the name of a movie none of us have heard before and say the name of the movie, and then it's all dependent on whether or not the movie is...
This has been going pretty good. This is like one of the better rounds.
This is one of our weakest rounds. Yeah. I agree.
Well, especially because we had a round last week where pretty much everybody won until we had a tiebreaker.
And I actually felt like each one of us really did bomb this week, which is funny.
I know. Like, because each one of us did.
It's
you know
so
why?
Weird.
Because sometimes it's hard pitching a movie that we've all seen. Because like, how are you going to say something new about it? Like, my choices this week were either Pan's Labyrinth or Seven. Like, how do I sell those movies?
Well, see, we're naturally attaching. It has to be movies none of us have seen because we're naturally, our minds are already going to a place that we know the movie. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, for the same reason, like why we can't cover all the movies that the fans suggest is because there's been so many conversations about certain movies. What else would you say? Right. Same kind of logic dictates, I think. So it's similar thinking.
I think I'm just going to go back to the old school way of just tell you what I watched and like whatever was the best thing, whether I think you guys are going to like it or not, I'm just going to try to pitch that to you. Because like if I pitch the best new thing I saw this week, I should have pitched the 40-year-old version, but I didn't think I could sell anything on that one.
See, but again,
that's a great one. Right? Yeah.
No, not the Virgin version. It's a new one. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait. That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's actually, I thought it was a documentary, and when I turned it on, it turned out to be a narrative.
40-something-year-old playwright that's being pushed out by some other playwrights, right? Something like that?
Basically, I mean, watch it. Like, she basically gets a gig writing for a show. She calls things, like, movies about people struggling poverty porn. Like, that's a big theme in the movie, is, like, I don't want to just write poverty porn or write, I don't know. Again, I'm not pitching this now, but yeah, it's about.
Actually, I'll give you a point for that, Dave.
I'll give you a point. Yeah.
Well, just the second movie. Yeah.
It's shot a lot like Clerks. It's like old school black and white. I liked it.
Hmm.
It's a feel good movie.
I think Nick was getting ready to tell people something.
Oh yes. So guys. Don't forget to visit us on social, drop us an email, or reach out with a movie review request. But tune in next week, because we're going to talk about more bad romances. And this one's a good one, guys. We're going to talk about Young Guns, too. We're going to talk about bromances. So anyways, guys, it's Nikki T. Wishing you all well. Stuff got real. So late. Thank you.